Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today on the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk a little bit further, kind of carrying on the subject we did on the last podcast in regards to product positioning. We're going to talk about what I affectionately call selling your soul. And it's something that surprisingly has been a problem with many brands over not just years, but generations. It goes back to the question asked by many people, whatever happened to that brand? You know, I saw them in premium positioning, premium price points. Then all of a sudden they had good price points, good placement in lower tier retail channels. And this selling your soul is a very common thing, not only for brands that go away or disappear over the years, but for brands that we see today. It's just a matter of to the extent of how much you want to sell out or sell your soul per se on the brand. So, like I said, over the years, we've seen many brands come and go. You know, I can think of and count in my right hand how many brands that have actually sold their soul and been able to come back from it. And people will often come to me through Liquid Mind. Hey, we would love to revive this brand. And it's an interesting question to ask, because the question is many times the answer. Trying to bring something back from the dead is very difficult. And I always say, I can count on my right hand how many brands have successfully done it. And through Liquid Mind, many times I'll get brands that will come to us that have gone through this cycle of being premium at one time and then moving down into the good channel and eventually disappearing. And many times also we'll get requests to revive a brand. And you can imagine the challenge with that question. We're a brand strategy firm, and we predominantly help mid and large cap companies continue to grow their brand. And so when you're talking about reviving something from the dead, it's a very difficult thing to do, to resuscitate a brand after they've sold their soul to the devil. And it's one of those iconic things you look at and you say, why did this happen in the first place? So what I say is, you know, over the years, we've seen many of these brands come and go. And probably one of the success stories, and I will say that there are a few success stories, 99% of the time, they're not successful in trying to revive the brand after they've kind of sold their soul. And one of those was Puma. The Dassler brothers started Adidas and Puma. And Puma, over the years and generations, had done very well for itself, and it was classified as a premium brand. And then they went and sold their soul. They went to the good level from premium, on not only product, but also on their distribution channel. And they had no defined point of difference, and their demographic changed. And so did everything else along with it. And eventually they did just disappeared. And somebody was able to revive it. And the key piece to that was that they revived the brand, the culture that people were so familiar with a ton of money. And that's the thing I'll mention here, is that many times when we sit down with brands or companies that want to have accretive revenue to what they currently have in place, we'll ask this simple question as to, number one, how do we want to revive the brand? Do we think it's possible to revive this brand? And if so, how much will it take to bring it out of the grave and have it walk again, much less run? And it's an astronomical number. Puma was one of those where you just don't bring it out from the grave and have this thing start running again. It takes a tremendous team and a tremendous amount of money to achieve this. So overall, I mentioned it's always a better thing to not sell your soul. So what is this exactly when I say selling your soul on product positioning? Well, you've worked so hard as a brand to establish your product positioning, your brand positioning, the lifestyle and culture that your community enjoys. And again, I'll use Nike and Adidas and these brands that sell a lifestyle. Yes, they sell a product that's premium, but how is it different from Nike and Adidas, and how have they positioned their brand from a marketing standpoint? It's performance-driven product at a premium price point, but it's also a culture that they built over the years that is earned. It's not given, it's earned. And this is a very crucial point when you start talking about brands that have sold their soul and eventually disappear. The problem is it's earned, not purchased. So many times when we talk to brands or we talk to companies that want to revive a brand, one thing we have to remind them of is that this is an earned right to be a premium brand. You can't bullshit the consumer when they've come back from the grave unless you're willing to put money towards that to reestablish the trust. And that's really what this comes down to when you're looking at a brand being able to be revived. Is you're reviving the trust of your community. You once were premium and now you're not. And that's why you went away, because you had no defined point of difference. And we talk about this all the time. When we look at the three tiers of retail, we've got good, better, best, right? So when you look at Nike, they're the best. Adidas is the best. And Reebok is on the good, maybe better level. And there's a reason for that. It's positioned that way, and it's sold that way, and it's priced that way. It's a larger audience. It's just not on the front end of the supply and demand curve. Early adopters aren't going to grab Reebok. They're going to grab Nike, Adidas. But Nike and Adidas also have to be leaders in their category. So it's crucial that they continue to innovate in order for them to be build a loyal customer base for their products. But also, don't misinterpret great products for a loyal culture. And this is really what it comes down to in many brands as well, when they look at, hey, you've got premium product, and it's a disconnect with their consumer because they haven't established and earned the right to have a premium culture, a lifestyle culture that they built. It just earned over time, and it's very hard to do so. You have to have the right product with the right marketing, with the right positioning, and the right lifestyle, and all of that built into a continual culture that's vertically integrated into your brand. So when we look at this a little bit deeper on selling your soul, it falls again in line with The Visionary Brand, the book that I just recently wrote, and it's part of the chapter on product positioning is selling your soul. And if we dig a little bit deeper on this, one thing that I've observed is that over the years, we've seen brands come and go. We've all seen them. And I don't care if it's 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. When you look at 5 years, 80% of brands fail. The next 5 years, the other 80% fail. So you got this 5-8% success rate on companies that want to build this brand. And once you built it, why do you sell your soul to the devil? I don't understand that, but it happens all the time. And that's why these brands come and go. So each of these that have come and gone, each is with a different reason for not surviving. But I can tell you that, but for most, if not all of them, it's because they made this crucial mistake of selling their soul. And how this happens is when a brand that has carefully, and I say carefully crafted a premium positioning in their respective marketplace, and then decided to sell out and move into either a channel or degrade their product that their loyal customers did not expect and don't live up to the brand standards, much less the customer, are selling their soul. And I'll give you a great example. So let's just say, for instance, that let's just use Nike as an example because I've used that before. And let's say, for instance, that Nike has a product that's premium positioning. And there are certain channels that people have expectations of where that Nike product should be. Just as soon as it starts selling into another channel, let's say they sell into Costco as an example, and all of a sudden consumers look at it, go, well, why is that brand that's supposed to be premium all of a sudden in a channel I don't recognize as premium? So this is one thing that brands try to get away with sometimes by kind of turning a blind eye, which is selling your soul without and hoping that nobody else notices. But eventually they do. Customers aren't stupid. And they understand that they're paying a premium because of the value that they put on your product relative to how you're positioning it. So it's critical that when you look at this positioning, that you're always consistent in product, lifestyle, culture, and positioning. So when you look at this, you end up selling your soul for short-term gain in exchange for long-term pain. Hey, we're trying to meet a quarter, and I've seen it all the time inside of brands, both working directly at these global iconic brands or working with them through LiquidMind, is that you're going to be selling your soul to the devil, but we need to make the quarter. So let's dump this inventory into a channel and let's just turn a blind eye to it and hopefully nobody notices. So I'm giving you this fair warning because there will become a point in this last 2 years are a great example of this, where you may feel the pressure to sell your soul. And I say sell your soul of the brand, who you are as a brand, this loyal customer base that you built up in order to get you through a quarter, to get you through a year. Whatever it may be, it's a challenge. I understand that. But at the same time, buy and hold, I call it. Buy this lifestyle, buy this positioning, and hold it. There's no sense selling out, trying to time the market, when you know that's not a formula for success. So don't try to time the market. Work your way through this, protect yourself, and make sure that you understand what you're getting into when you think I'm on that path, is that not only is it disrupting your position in the marketplace, but think about what you're doing damage-wise inside of the company. In order for you to achieve the channel, you have to be putting product in there. That's the simple part. But as soon as you start making product for those channels, you've sold your soul to the devil on culture and also product. But probably the most important thing that brands overlook is that internally, what are they thinking? Well, wait a minute. We used to be a premium brand, and now all of a sudden we're making inferior product. It's at the good level for a channel that we've never sold into before. What are we doing? Who are we? Remember, when you're building a culture and you're building a brand, you know who you are, where you should be, and what you should be making. All of a sudden, those questions come up again. Your culture suffers, and that is like a virus inside of your brand and your company that will eventually affect everybody, and you don't want that. So being a brand is a much of a lifestyle translation as it is a product. We go back again to the Ralph Lauren quote, which is great, is that, hey, we're selling a lifestyle, not a product. So when you understand this, you know why you alienate your loyal community by cutting corners or putting your product where it doesn't belong. Don't do it. And many times it's the fear of failure. And I go back to where we're at in the environment that we're in today, is the fear of failure can sometimes outweigh common sense, which is a devastating decision when it happens. And I'm sure there are many times you ask yourself, we talked about earlier, is, you know, hey, whatever happened to that brand? And this is from the consumer perspective, or as much as it is for the brand standpoint, because the brand see it as an opportunity to revive something that's dead. And the consumer just asks it because they're curious. Hey, whatever happened to Puma? Whatever happened to these brands that used to be on the shelf that I would purchase that were at a premium level? You never want to be in that position of, hey, whatever happened to my brand? So when you look at selling your soul, it's a fatal mistake. You're selling your soul to make a quarter in revenue, move excess inventory, find a new distribution channel, whatever it is, whatever your reasoning is, and I've heard them all. And in each case, it's led to disastrous consequences. And when you look at how do you make sure that you don't sell your soul to the devil, you find ways to help those that have helped you in the good times. And I'll use an example of Quiksilver. When Quiksilver was going through the storm of retail, and they were predominantly independent distribution and stores on Surf and Skate, and they were suffering through this economic recession. And Quiksilver saw that. And what they did, instead of building inferior product, they decided to help those that helped them during the good times. And it paid off 10 times. And so what I use that example is because when you look at going through difficult times, are you the one that's going to sell out, degrade your brand equity, or are you going to find creative ways to survive the storm, help those who are also in the storm that have helped you in the past, or are you going to sell your soul to the devil and hope that everything works out, which in most instances you'll see by my examples, don't. So there is a way for a brand to navigate these waters successfully, but you must not drown in the process. And I use the storm analogy with this because it's a great analogy to look at. You're in the middle of a storm, you're panicking, you're bailing water. What do we do? Hey, the only thing we can do is throw inventory overboard, build an inferior product, and hope that we can make it through, versus trying to lean on others, stay the course, and work your way through the storm. So what are the rules for not selling your soul? And I use three here. There's many, but what I've seen over the years, there's really three that I see that are kind of these top priorities for not selling your soul. You know, number one, and I make these really simple for a reason, so you can apply these immediately. You know, it's number one is never go somewhere you do not belong. Very logical, right? Well, not always, because you're sitting in these boardrooms and these meetings, and you've never sold into a channel, you never sold into a particular store. These come up all the time. So you got to fight that not belonging syndrome, okay? You want to make sure that we don't belong there, so let's not go there. If you are a premium brand, stay premium. Number two is never make an inferior product if you're premium. If you are best in class, stay best in class. Number three is never let someone else out-innovate you. And this goes towards the mantra of a premium brand like Oakley. When I was with Oakley, it was always about out-innovating ourselves. We don't care what the competition is doing, because the anticipation is that when we come with new product that's innovative, it's a given. Oakley's always going to have the latest innovations, and everybody else is going to follow us. So they would be in our vapor trail, as we call it. So it's always out-innovate yourself, not the competition. So each of these points is meant to stop you from losing your soul as a brand. You know, this is something that's not given, but it's earned. And you lose the trust of your customer and your community, you've lost the value of your brand and your equity as a result of doing something that you were not supposed to do as a brand. So it's an earned right. So the trust of your loyal customer, never break this bond. So I always say, stay true, stay authentic, be different, and be great, and enjoy that journey. You have a limited amount of time. You've got the hourglass flipped over. Make sure you enjoy your days. If you'd like to reach out to me, feel free to do so. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at Bryan, Bryan, at liquidmindsite.com, liquidmindsite.com. Or you can go directly to liquidmindsite.com and reach out to me. Also, at the Visionary Podcast, if you like what you're hearing, would love to get a review. If you have any suggestions, again, feel free to reach out to me at Bryan@liquidmindsite.com. Again, thanks for listening. Look forward to the next Visionary Chronicles. I wanted to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And hopefully you find the information that we put out each week very useful. And what we found through reviews and when we were originally putting together their Visionary podcast was found both personal and professional advice as well as information those listening to the podcast were looking for. So we wanted to be unique in that way, and hopefully you found that to be the case. And appreciate the reviews that you've been sending in, and we would certainly appreciate you signing up for our newsletter as well, which is an expansion upon what you're seeing on or hearing on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And you can find that at two locations. One is bryansmeltzer.com, BryanSmeltzer.com, or our company site, liquidmindsite.com, LiquidMind. site.com. So we would appreciate any reviews, additional reviews, comments you may have. Sign up for the newsletter, and we look forward to talking with you next week.